Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick with you today. And let's stay in the Senate now, where Senator Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, is working double duty. He's struggling to prevent the president's deepening scandal from overtaking the Republican agenda. Meanwhile, he's also struggling to prevent that agenda from falling of its own weight. The Senate is back from its July 4th recess. Republicans left town without being able to pass their plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. And the vacation did not help matters. As senators went home to their states, more of them came out against the plan. Well, if one vacation did not help the bill's chances at the hands of angry constituents, two vacations certainly will not help. McConnell announced yesterday that the traditional August recess will start 2 weeks late because he's determined to get 50 Senate Republicans on board with their central promise to voters for the past 7 years.
We'll be on health care next week. We'll be laying out a revised version of the repeal and replace effort, the text of that. On Thursday morning, we hope to have a CBO score by the beginning of the week and a motion to proceed to that bill next week.
Now, some of McConnell's Republican senators have already said the bill is as good as dead. As you heard there, Mitch McConnell, though, is not giving up. Perry Bacon Jr. is a senior writer with 538, and he's with me now. Hi, Perry.
Todd, thanks for having me.
They're back from July 4th. As I mentioned, just how many votes shy is Mitch McConnell now?
You know, by my count, there's 9 members who've come out pretty strongly against this bill so far. You have to have 50 for the bill to pass, so they probably need 7 more votes than what they have now. So that's a pretty substantial deficit to start from.
There's been this wide gulf that we've talked about. Several conservatives who say it's not a true Obamacare repeal. It leaves insurance subsidies in place, doesn't do enough to repeal the Medicaid expansion. On the other side, several moderate senators saying Medicaid is critical to their states. Those divisions only seem to have deepened over the break. If there's a revised version, how does McConnell bring it together?
Yeah, the break was important because I think you had 4 or 5 senators, Susan Collins of Maine, Dean Heller of Nevada being the leading ones, who were saying the bill was too conservative. And then you had Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, kind of the leaders in saying the bill was not conservative enough. But you had over the break, you had a couple outliers. I'd name Kansas's Jerry Moran being the sort of most significant, who also came out, who were sort of new to this and said, hey, these Medicaid cuts are too deep for rural areas. Moran's not really known as a moderate or not really known at all for someone who kind of doesn't vote with the rest of the party. So that was surprising to me. So what it sounds like the outlines of what they're going to do are, is they're going to keep some of the tax increases that were in Obamacare and use some of that money to increase the subsidies from where the bill was when the CBO last reviewed it, because some of the CBO scores were, you know, suggested if you were older, particularly there were, you were going to have, I mean, very, very high costs and premiums, much more than before. But my understanding so far is McConnell is not going to probably change those Medicaid cuts very much. So that's going to be a big challenge. That's where we're probably losing 4 or 5 Republicans is purely on those Medicaid cuts.
So keeping tax increases on wealthy people that are in Obamacare so that you have billions more to pay for premiums and subsidies for folks with insurance is not a great way to get the Ted Cruz's and the Rand Paul's and the conservatives of the world on board with your bill. I mean, that sounds like more Obamacare, not less.
Right. So there's some debate about what exactly the Cruises and the Mike Lee of Utah, Rand Paul, Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, that conservative, and what they want. You know, they've been pushing for this kind of what they're calling the Cruz Amendment, which would essentially change the insurance rules and allow, as long as an insurer sold plans that were kind of Obamacare compliant, they could also sell plans that were not Obamacare compliant under current law. Plans that maybe had less coverage, didn't cover maternity, didn't cover a lot of essential benefits. So the challenge with that is people worry that creates sort of one market for the healthy and one market for the sick, and that'll drive up costs a lot. So in terms of politics, though, it's not clear if they're going to include that amendment in the bill. And the reason is because you've had several moderate members say, we don't like that idea, and we don't want that amendment in there. So one of the core questions is, can you add in things the conservatives like that the moderates will vote for too? And I think they're trying to work on language that appeals to both, and that's going to be very challenging, I think.
So, Perry, Mitch McConnell has canceled part of the August recess. Clearly, this is mission critical for him. Talk about the political risk here of getting through the summer, getting to Labor Day, without success on repealing and replacing Obamacare while the Russia investigation hangs over all of this.
You know, I think there are two political risks. I think one is, if you look at the base of the Republican Party, the activists, the people who give money, the people who are energized by the party, who do a lot of the work for it, I think they're going to be irritated if you don't end up with Obamacare repeal, because the party has promised that. On the other hand, you've seen the polling about this actual legislation. We're talking about 12%, 17%. By some measures, the 538's done, this is one of the most unpopular major bills we've had in 20 to 30 years. So if you're Dean Heller in Nevada and you are trying to run for reelection next year, your politics suggests you should vote against this, and it's not going to help you. So I think the politics are very different depending on, and I think the states like in West Virginia, or if you're a senator from Ohio, the states that have expanded Medicaid, the people in those states are very nervous about this bill and the Medicaid cut. So I think the politics depend on where you are. Like, I understand for Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, there's a big incentive to pass this bill. For Donald Trump, there probably is a big incentive to pass this bill. I would argue for the individual members, there's not as much incentive, and that's part of the problem here.
Perry Bacon Jr., senior writer with 538. Thanks, Perry.
Hey, Todd. Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.